Parashat Emor, Emor Tov Shin Ayin Chet. In this parasha, in the parasha of Emor, the book of Vayikra has, as we have mentioned in the past, talks about things that we don't connect to very easily. First, there are korbanot, which we don't actually participate in, and matters of tumah v'tahara, which are sort of esoteric. Like, it's very hard to know why something is tameh, and it's hard to understand why something becomes tahor. That the Rambam at the end of Hilchot Mikvaot, talks about immersing yourself in a mikveh in order to become tahor. And he says, the Rambam says, it's not the mikveh that makes you tahor, but it's your willingness to be tahor that makes you tahor. And it's just the mikveh is just a reminder. Which sounds to me like you could say, if somebody would say that today, who has never had the Rambam before, you would probably say, you try to rationalize the Torah or something, that you can't do that. But the Rambam did it, and I think he got away with it. I mean, there's plenty of opposition to the Rambam, but not on that particular halakha. There's a lot of other stuff to be against. So korbanot we don't do. Tumah v'tahara we don't know very much about. It's true, tumat nida, women, there is still some relationship to mikvaot. Tumah v'tahara also refers to food, animals. But we can't really, it's like sort of very esoteric. We don't know why a walking and talking animal is tahor, and another animal is tameh. I mean, it's true that the Torah gives certain simanim that distinguishes animals that are tahor from animals that are tameh, but those simanim don't really tell us anything. They may be simanim that reflect the category, but they're not essentially. Like, you can't explain to me why an animal that chews its cud should be in one category and an animal that doesn't chew its cud should be in another category, even though there may be distinguishing factors. There may be. And it could be also, it may also be true that we could, like, we thought about it, we come up with some sort of end. So there's korbanot, there's tumah v'tahara, there's sarat, a kind of, a different kind of tumah. And finally, in Emor, in this week's parasha, there's a lot of tumah v'tahara matters that connect to Kohanim. So you could say, as the Ramban says in the introduction to the book of Vayikra, the Ramban says, I mean, these are the main topics. These are the main topics, and then here and there something gets schlepped in on the side. So in the parasha of Emor, this week's parasha, there is an entire parasha devoted to Mo'adim, to the special days that we might call today holidays, special days. And that parasha begins, if you look at the sheet, with these psukim, Perikav Gimel Pasuk Alb. It's a departure. It's a departure from what it seems to be, a departure from what Vayikra is usually about, right? Okay, Bahar B'chukotai, the next parashiyot, also a departure. But this is the first major departure. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe l'mor. Okay, that we all understand. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe l'mor. Right, this is the pasuk that reflects how the Torah was taught to Bnei Yisrael. Hashem told it to Moshe, and Moshe taught it to Bnei Yisrael. And that was because, at least Chazal seemed to understand it this way, that the capacity that Moshe Rabbeinu had to understand was greater than anybody else. So in order for the Torah to come into the world, it had to filter its way through Moshe Rabbeinu in order to be the maximum Torah that could be received. And then everybody else in the world gets as much of the Torah as he can. he or she can, by learning the Torah. So that's what the Be'er Shem and Moshe Rabbeinu are, this emphasis on the fact that in terms of maximalizing the receiving of the Torah in the world, it had to go first to Moshe Rabbeinu. That was his job. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's job. And he was the only one who could do it. There was no one else who could place himself or herself in the place of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the way, what I'm telling you is what the Rambam says or what the Ramban says. And and later on in Chassidut, it also comes up again that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Aspaklaria HaMe'ira. It was a prophetic aspect to Moshe Rabbeinu that was supreme above all the other prophets. So we know, everybody knows that, if you've ever taken a course based on a text, so you know that some people in the course will understand, even after everybody knows the words, what the words mean, some people seem to understand it better than other people. Right? The understanding the text is not exactly equal to knowing what the words mean. Right? It's not exactly the same. To get to the bottom of things. I mean, that's why, so that's the way it is. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who could bring the maximum of the Torah into the world. Right? So the Chazal would say, Moshe Rabbeinu, he had 49 Sharei Bina out of 50. And what do they mean? They mean almost. Even for Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't 100%. But it was as close as you could get. This idea of 49 out of 50 is another way of saying as close as you possibly could get. The same thing, same idea in Shemitah and Yovel. In any event, that's what this pasuk means, right? The Hashem and Moshe Leimo, it appears again and again in the Torah. And it means that only Moshe Rabbeinu could get it. Only Moshe Rabbeinu could understand it, and then he with his understanding, he passed it down. He passed it down and wrote it down. Writing it down is also an interesting idea. When you write something down, it all changes. Everything is different. If you have a book, it's different than not having a book. Because if it's only oral, it doesn't get a fixed form. Different people will repeat it in different ways, but that's a different story. Then the second pasuk says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'amad aleihem. Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amad aleihem. This is not always the case. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'amad aleihem. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this pasuk say, speak to b'nei Yisrael and say as follows, Mo'adei Hashem. A mo'ed is a special time. It's a special time. It's a time when people get together. Right? The Hebrew word va'ad, mo'ed, beit va'ad, oil mo'ed, those are times of collection. Asher tikru'u otam, asher tikru'u otam. Tikru'u. What does that word mean, tikru'u otam? Tikru'u. You call them. You make them. It was mikra'e kodesh, which means that these things that are called Mikra'e Kodesh, for some reason, they are somehow connected to Tikra'u Otam. They only happen when you call them, when you speak of them. Eilehem Mo'adai. You do it with me. That's what the Pasuk says. Mo'adim, Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuot, Eilehem Mo'adai. Those are my times of getting together. Tikru'u otam. You shall call them with me. And then, the Pasuk Gimel says, Sheshet Yamim Te'aseh Melacha. It's a kind of a departure. It was, what do you mean, Eilehem Mo'adai? Mo'adai is not Shabbat. Shabbat is not a Mo'ed. But the Pasuk says, Sheshet Yamim Te'aseh Melacha, V'yom HaShvi Shabbat Shabbaton, Mikra Kodesh Kobulacha Lotasu Shabbat Hashem Bikol Moshvotechem. You see those last words? Shabbat He Lashem. But not? Not both of you. Not Hashem and you. Tikruot HaMemoada. Everybody knows. Everybody knows this well-known idea that Shabbat is established by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? It's a fixed day. Every seventh day from the time of creation is Shabbat. Moadim are a little bit different. Yes? Moadim are dependent on Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a variable day. Sometimes it's today, and sometimes it's tomorrow. Right? So that the Moed, which is always a day in the month, right? Pesach, Sukkot, Shavuot. Okay, Shavuot is not exactly a day in the month, but it's sort of a day in the month, because it's dependent on a previous day in a previous month. So the Moadim are not fixed by God. It was, they were Shabbos from the time that God created the world. But you can't say that there was Pesach. I don't want to say that. You can't say there was Sukkot at the time of Avraham Avinu. I mean, you could say it, and you could probably even defend it, but that's only because you're clever. But it's not that reasonable to say that Sukkot existed for Avraham Avinu, whereas Shabbat definitely existed. Which is not to say that I know how much of our Shabbat Avraham Avinu kept. I don't mean that. I just mean it was there. It was there. It's every seventh day is Shabbat. But you can't say that there was Sukkot if there was nobody to do it. There was no one to celebrate it. There was no one to remember it. You can't say that. So that the Pasuk, I think, reflects that. The on the one hand, Moadei Hashem Hashai Tikru'u Otam Mikra'i Kodesh. You're involved. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. Elahe Moadai. That those are the Moadim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. He wants the Moadim that we are involved in setting up and establishing, in remembering. Right? All the Moadim are connected to remembering. Right? So we have to remember. We have to remember Zeicher Yetziat Mitzrayim, Zeicher Kibbutz Sukkot Shabbat B'nei Yisrael. Okay, Shavuot is whatever it is coming up. Let's look at the Rashi. Rashi says this: "Daber b'nei Yisrael mo'adei Hashem, asei mo'adot." Rashi, asei mo'adot. You do it. Make a mo'ed. Make special times. Sheyu Yisrael milumadim bahem. B'nei Yisrael should be knowledgeable, understanding, involved with making it, giving it a color. Milumadim shem shema'abrim et hashan, et hashana al ga'aluyot shene'ekru mimkomam la'alot l'aregel. Ma'abrim et hashana, rababrim et hashana, right? You, ma'abrim et hashana, you sometimes add a month. Ibur hashana, some years have 12 months, or some have 13 months, and you ma'abrim et hashana, when you realize that people in Chutz La'aretz shene'ekru, Bimkomam lagia la regel, vaday lo igilu rishayim. You give them a chance. You give them another chance. You can push it off. You can push the regel, the going to Yerushalayim. You can actually push it off. So it's again Shabbat determined by God. We have nothing to do with that. We have nothing to do with that. And so you all know the story that when the yeshivot, when the Mir Yeshiva in the which was in Lithuania, escaped before World War, during World War II, and ended up in Japan. Right? They didn't know what to do with themselves. What? They didn't know when Shabbat was. And then, of course, it implied something about Yom Kippur, but they didn't know about Shabbat. They didn't know Shabbat. So they said, okay, so we'll keep Shabbat 2 days. But you know, it's forbidden to fast for 2 days. So Yom Kippur became a problem. They couldn't solve that problem because Shabbat was fixed. It was either today or tomorrow. They could all get together and say, let's make it today. They felt they couldn't do that, so they ran away to Shanghai, which was on the other side of the international dateline. And until today, The problem with international dateline remains a curiosity, like a real problem. If you like puzzles, you could read about the international dateline. There's a good book on the international dateline written by somebody whose name I forget. A kind of an art scroll kind of book, you know, like it has a colored cover. But it's true, don't worry. So that's what he says. That's what Rashi says. Now, Pasuk Gimel, the next Pasuk, Sheish Yomim Tiyasem Lacha, V'yom HaShvi'i Shabbat Shabbaton, Mikra Kodesh Kol Lachalot Ta'azu, Shabbat Il Hashem Mekol Moshvotechem. So they, in order to talk about Mo'adim, the Torah has this Pasuk about Shabbat. And in order to get back to our original topic, which is Mo'adim, Pasuk Dalet says, Ele Modei Hashem, Mikra'i Kodesh, Etikra Otam B'Mo'adam, which some people say at the beginning of Kiddush and Yontif. Now look at Rashi, Sheshet Yamim, Rashi says, Ma'anyan Shabbat, Eitzel Mo'adot, ha ha ha. There you have it. We're all very clever, but Rashi is older than we are. Rashi says, what has Shabbat got to do with this? What does Shabbat? Shabbat is something that is inherited from the creation. It comes from God. It has nothing to do with us, really. Only Mo'adim have to do with us. And the Pasuk started, Pasuk Bet, Mo'adei Hashem. What's Shabbat? How did Shabbat get into this? L'lamedcha, Rashi answers, Shekol ha-mechalel et ha-mo'adot, ba'alin alav ki'ilu chilel et ha-shabbatot. Now, I'm willing at my advanced age to admit that I never understood what Rashi said. I never understood it. I still don't understand it too well. What does that mean? Mechalel et ha-mo'adot. If you don't keep the mo'adot, if you don't keep yontif in the proper manner, so you're doing, you're over on an essay. You're doing an avera. What is this business about ma'alin alav ki'ilu chilel et ha-shabbatot? In other words, like you get, it's worse. Shabbat, the punishment for not keeping Shabbos is skila. The punishment for not keeping Yom Tov is not.
Maybe it's to say that you might think that Yom Tov and what lesser status given that they're not divinely.
Let's say again. You might think that
Yom Tov, given that it has some role of it that's not divine, that it has a lesser status.
So,
and therefore, Rush, it comes to teach you the order, the comparison, the juxtaposition says that it's just as severe to be Mechal Yom Tov, even though there's an aspect of it which isn't divine, as it is to be Mechal Shabbat.
Okay. That's good. It just doesn't make me happy.
Yeah.
But it's fine.
Sorry.
Did you hear what she said? Anyway, Rashi says this. Kol ha-mekayem et ha-mo'adot, but if you keep the mo'adot, ma'alin alav ki'il kiyem et ha-shabbatot. Now, how do you figure that? According to your theory?
It has the same impact, as it were.
Even as Shabbos? But if you keep the mo'adot, so you're okay. Why do you have to give ma'alin alav ki'il kiyem et ha-shabbatot? I don't know.
It's the same idea. You get a certain type of sechar for observing the mo'adot that we created, as you do for.
Why would that be the case?
I don't know. I'm just trying to explain what Rashi means, but I don't understand.
It's the flip side of the beginning of the sentence.
Okay. I'll try. What? I'm sorry.
Isn't it just simpler to say.
One second.
Isn't it simpler to say that this whole section is about the sanctity of time? In other words, we've been dealing with other things, sanctity of place, separation of place. Now we're dealing with sanctity of time. Shabbat is usually considered the most important of all of them, so it leads off, and that leads you into the holiday, into the rest of the Chagim.
Yeah,
I think that Rashi is actually twisting himself into epistemological pretzels just for the sake of complicating things.
Epistemological, I understand, but what's a pretzel?
It's like a challah that's really overdone.
But look, I mean, that's good. Shimshon Farhurst would have liked that a lot, you know. But look at the psukim. But look at the psukim. The first pasuk says Moadei Hashem. That's the topic. Asher tikru osam b'moadam. And then there's a digression from the topic, and the digression of the topic sheishet yomim tizam lacha. It seems to be a digression from the topic, from the topic. And then at the end of pasuk gimel, if you look at the end of pasuk gimel, you see there's a pay in the printed text. A pay means that there's a space in the Torah, like a new start. Or I remember, it's like a new paragraph. It's a new paragraph after the pay. The new paragraph begins, Elam Odeh Hashem Mikra Kod. So there are two starts. There's the start of Moadim and then Shabbos. And then there's another start about Moadim without Shabbos. So it seems to me that there's something here that's not clear. And Rashi tries to make a connection between the prohibitions of Shabbat or the kiyum of Shabbat and the kiyum of the Moadim, and says there's some kind of comparison that the Moadim get upgraded. They get upgraded to the level of Shabbat. If you are positive about the Moadim, so you get the reward of Shabbat. And if you're negative about the Moadim, you get the punishment of Shabbat. I guess, even though I don't know that you get skila, but you get some kind of punishment. Okay, so now let's look at the pasuk in Bereishit. There's another.
The Moadim are called Mikra Kodesh, and also Shabbat is called Mikra Kodesh.
What? Say that again, I'm sorry.
The Moedim are called Mikra Kodesh.
Yes.
And Shabbat is called Mikra Kodesh.
Okay, Mikra Kodesh.
Mikra Kodesh, so they're somewhat connected.
Yeah, well, it's like an Issur Melacha on Shabbat and on Yom Tov. They're not quite the same, but they're distinguishers. They're days on which there are Issurei Melacha, Shabbat and Yom Tov. That's what I think. This is the Ramban says. In any event, now look at the psukim from Bereishit. Now in Bereishit, we know that the creation of things was done primarily by four verbs: Aleph, Bet, Yud, Ayin, Abia. Aleph, Bet, Yud, Ayin. The Aleph stands for Vayomer, Amira. Right, Vayomer Hashem Yehi Or. So that's like a creative act through Amira. Bet is Bara. Reshit Bara Elokim et Hashamayim et Haaretz. Right, Bara. It's another verb that's used for creation. The Yud is Yitzira. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim Adam. Right, God created man, and ayin, the ayin is asiya, asla asot. Those are the verbs that are usually connected to the creation of the world. But there is another verb which is not mentioned with those four. There's another verb, and that verb is vayavdel, to distinguish. And the reason that there's a difference is because the Aleph, Bet, Yud, Ayin, they all seem to be about creating something. Whereas Vayavdel is not exactly to create. Nevertheless, there were things that were created or established by using the word Vayavdel. For example, if you look at the Pasuk of Bereishit, Bereishit Bara Elokim et Shamayim et Haaretz. But you know there's that argument about that pasuk, whether this is about the actual creation or it's an introduction to the story of creation. So you know that the Ramban says that in the beginning God created something out of nothing. Right? Which in Chazal, in the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, is called Yesh Me'ayin. God created Yesh Be'ayin, something from nothing. And that's what the first pasuk said. And that the rest of creation was always is the creation of something from something. Because the something from nothing, the Ramban has said, is called Hiyuli, which is a Greek word. which means something. And after the creation of Hiyuli, that everything else was created from that Hiyuli. From that Hiyuli. So the first pasuk, Breishit Baral Givet Hashamayim Et Haaretz, is like saying, well, in order to create Shamayim Et Haaretz, you needed something. So that's what was created in pasuk Aleph. And that's why in pasuk Gimel says, Vayom Elokim Yehi Or, right? But the Or came from something that existed. And that something existed, the Rambam calls Hiyuli. And that Hiyuli is Yesh Me'ayin, right? That was the creation of Yesh Me'ayin. It's not true that everything that was created, according to the Rambam, that everything was created in Bereshit was created Yesh Me'ayin. But everything was actually created Yesh Me'yesh. It's only the initial stuff that was created Yesh Me'ayin. So the pasuk says Bereshit Baral Kibbutz Shemayim Et Haaretz. So we have that problem with that pasuk, right? Today, it's the Rashi that is popular, made popular. Va'aretz hayta tohu vavohu, tohu vavohu, whatever that means. Well, it seems like it was a mess, right? Because of what we're going to say in a minute, tohu vavohu could mean undifferentiated. All there's like a lot of stuff, which the Ramban calls hiyuli. And that stuff had the potential of becoming trees and animals and grasses and all that stuff, but it was undifferentiated. That's tohu vavohu. V'choshech al p'nei tohu. Miruch Elokim mirachevet al p'nei ha-mayim. P'nei ha-mayim, so mayim, blots out differentiations. Right? It's like Noach, the punishment for the people who lived at the time of Noah was reverting back to pre-creation. How do you revert back to pre-creation? Mayim. That's what it says in the pasuk. It says, "Ruach Elokim rachevet al pnei hamayim." Like everything was covered with water, and the Ruach Elokim. I mean, it's hard to know what each of these things mean. So the first thing that was actually created, the first things in the world that we know about was Yehi Or, was the creation of Or. And Or was created with Amira. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. Now one more pasuk. Vayar Elokim et Or ki Tov. We all know. Or and Tov and Torah and it all goes together. But then the pasuk says, "Vayavdel Elokim bein ha'or uvein ha'choshech." Now, what could that possibly mean? What could that possibly mean? What do you mean, "Vayavdel Elokim bein ha'or uvein ha'choshech"? Okay, so everybody has in mind. You're gonna, you know, if there's light, there's no darkness. The only way to get darkness is to not have light. So Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. What do you need Vayavdel for? Why couldn't? Well, we'll see in a minute. Let's look at Rashi. Vayar Elokim et Or ki Tov. Vayavdel. Af bazeh anu tzrichim l'divrei agada. You know, Rashi says in several places in Breishit, in the Parshiot of Breishit and Noach, Ein gam bazeh tzrichim l'divar agada. L'divar agada. For Rashi, the difference between Pshat and Agada is that Pshat is an attempt to explain the pasuk or the words in the order in which they are written. Agada, on the other hand, is willing to take a word out of a pasuk and give it a special meaning, give it a special meaning, and then reinterpret the pasuk according to that special meaning. So Rashi says, "Gam agada." So you would think that there's something really difficult about this pasuk. I can't really explain it too well. But Rashi, at the end of this, Rashi tries to explain the pshat. But before he explains the pshat, he said, "Ra'uhu." She'eino kedai mishtamesh bo rishaim. Ra'ahu Hashem saw the light that had been created. She'eino kedai that it's just not worthy, or the Rishaim, the bad people, are not worthy of this light. So that the light we are talking about, is something that we don't know anything about that. We don't know. It wasn't light. It was something wondrous. Something beyond light. Something that that makes everything understood. It's clarity. Right? Not just light. So as a result, since so HaKadosh Baruch Hu took that light and put it in wherever Atid Lavo is, wherever the future is going to be, and then the tzaddikim who are worthy, who understand, who are knowledgeable, they will be with this light. So it turns out that this Pasuk Gimel, Vayom Elokim Yehi Or, Vayehi Or, is like saying to us, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, even though you don't know it. You don't know that there's light. Why don't you know that there's light? Because the light that this Pasuk is talking about didn't stay in the created world. It left. Okay, it could be that Olam Haba is also part of the created world. But I don't mean that. I mean the created world that we might be aware of. Like we're aware of water and dry land and grass and trees and animals and man and woman. We're aware of all of that. But we're not aware of this light. So this pasuk, Rashi says, Divrei Agadah, that this pasuk is not about the light that we know, but it's about a different kind of light. And then Rashi goes on and says, "Lufi pshuto, kach parsheu." Now, if you want, now that's of course not pshat. I mean, why would anybody think that God created something in the 6 days of creation in order for it not to be there, but to take it away? I mean, it seems like an odd idea. But Rashi says, "Lufi pshuto, kach parsheu." This is what it means according to pshat. According to pshat, we can try to distinguish the pshat from the non-pshat. Ra'ahu kitov. He saw the light. He, Hashem, saw the light, kitov. Ve'eina elo ve'lachoshech she'yum ishtamshim be'irbuvia. He says, so Rashi says, the simple pshat is, Vayom elekim yihi or vayihi or. And that was a problem. And the problem was that now there was light and darkness that are mixed up together. Whatever that means. In other words, and what was there at the end of Pasuk Bet, according to Rashi Pshat? There was light and darkness mixed in together somehow. Vayar Elokim et Or Ki Tov. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is no good. It's no good that the light is mixed in with the darkness. Vayavdel. I mean, this is Rashi, right? So that the world that we know, according to the Pshat, not according to the Drash, right? According to the Pshat, God created the light. And the light that God created is still with us. That's in the world. However, having created the light, God saw that there was an admixture of light and darkness, which just couldn't be. So Vayavdel, God separated the light from the darkness, and the light was during the day, and the darkness was at night. Where the day and the night came from, according to Rashi, it doesn't matter. But Rashi, that's the pshat. The pshat is that the light that God created was in some way faulty, and it was corrected in Pasuk Dalet. Pasuk Gimel says, "Vayomer Elokim hi or vayhi or." God created light. There was something wrong with that creation. Vayar Elokim et or ki tov. Vayavdel Elokim et or vayachosh. The original intention was create light, and the light would be there together with the choshech, right? The choshech that existed in Pasuk Bet, v'choshech al pinei tahom. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, let there be light. It's as though we're talking about the choshech as being something tangible choshech. So there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is no good, because you don't get the light. As long as the choshech is mixed in with the light, so you don't get the light. So Yahweh to Okitov Vayavdel Elokim, in order to improve, the situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu distinguished between the Or and the Choshech, calling one of them daytime and the other one nighttime. Okay. Now it may be that you've never thought about these psukim quite in this way, but that doesn't mean that everything I've said is wrong. Minimally, you have to admit it's interesting. But Rashi is of the opinion that this problem that the Or was out of place, right? Both Pshat, the Pshat and the Agadita both agree that the creation of Or was faulty in some way. According to the Agadah that Rashi says at the beginning, somehow the world was not worthy of the Or. And according to the Pshat, the Or was kind of diluted by the Choshech. Both cases, the fixing is in the next Pasuk, Pasuk Dalet, Vayar Lekim to Or Ki Tov, right? Ador Ki Tov, Vayavdel Lekim in Or Veda Choshech. So according to the Agadah, God took the Or away from the Choshech and put it into Olam Haba. According to the Pshat, God fixed it by distinguishing between the daytime and the nighttime. So according to the Pshat in Rashi, Vayavdel is not a word which defines creation, but it's a word that defines organizing creation. Right? Somehow it's secondary. How did it happen that God messed up the first time around? I don't know. I don't know that kind of. I only know a little bit about what Rashi says. I don't know anything about what Rashi doesn't say. Okay? So now this is the Hamek Dabar that I wanted everybody to get a hold of. Vayavdel Elokim min ha'or v'ein ha'choshech, right? The Hamek Dabar is the Netziv. Right? The Netziv was the last Rosh Yeshiva in Voloshin and died in Warsaw. If you've ever been on one of these trips, you know, you probably saw the Oel in the Beit Klarot in Warsaw, which houses Rav Chaim and the Netziv, right? Both of whom were for a time together Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin. Rav Chaim went then to Brisk and became the Rav after his father died. His father was the Beis Halevi, right? So he died in Brisk, and his son, who became Rav Chaim, was the inheritor of the rabbinic mantle. The Netziv stayed in Volozhin until he closed it. Until it was closed because the Russian authorities were imposing limitations on the yeshiva that the yeshiva felt it could not comply with. So the yeshiva was closed, and they both ended up in Warsaw, and they both died in Warsaw and were buried in Warsaw, and then they built this ohel, like a stone little room in which the two graves are found. So the Hamek Dabar, one of his innovations was he taught Chumash every morning after davening in the yeshiva. And that Chumash class that he taught every morning became his Perush ala Torah, which he called Hamek Dabar. Right? There's also an added Perush called Harchev Dabar, but this is from the Hamek Dabar, the primary commentary of the Netziv on the Chumash. So he says, Vayavdel Elokim bein ha'or bein ha'choshech. He says an interesting thing. Hora'at havdel. What does the word mean, havdel? Hu b'shnei mashma'ot. There are two basic meanings to the word vayavdel. Echad, misach mavdil bein shnei, basach mavdil bein shnei dvarim shavim. O'inam shavim. He says, one kind of vayavdel is when you put up a barrier. Right? There's the one side of the barrier and the other side of the barrier. Right? And then bein shnei dvarim shavim, o'inam shavim. That on either side you could have two different things of this barrier, or you could have two groups of the same thing. But that's one of the meanings of vayavdel. Bet, the second meaning, havdel ruchani bein shnei dvarim shenirim lechusha ayin shein shavim. He says sometimes you see two things that seem to be the same. Shem Shavim, Shinim Lechusha Ayin, Nirim Lechusha Ayin, like your sight. When you look at something, you think that they're equal. Kimo Havdalah Ben Yom Kodosh Kodesh Lechol. He says, for example, we make Havdalah. Right? We make Havdalah after Shabbat. And we say, until now it was Shabbos, now it's not Shabbos anymore. But you know very well that you can't tell the difference. Right? It's like the same. If you make Havdalah, you know, maybe it's just another day. It's just another day. The Lefiya Nir'eh, Mayom Yomai. He says, well, as far as when you look at it, you don't see the difference between one day and another day. V'chein Hevdel, Bein Tahor, L'Tamei. Similarly, there's no way to tell the difference between something that is Tamei and something that's Tahor. They look the same. It's a halachic contrivance. Is it the halacha says that he's tameh, but it's not because you could see it or feel it. V'od harbeh, he says that there are many similarities. There are two things that are similar, two animals. One animal is called tahor, and the other is called tameh. Two people, one person is tameh and can't get involved with trumot and masor, the other person can. They seem to be pretty much the same. V'kan ein lefaresh ba'ofen hasheni. V'kan, in this pasuk, v'yavdel elokim bein ha'or v'bein ha'choshech, ein lefaresh ba'ofen hasheni. You can't say they're just two things that are similar, that have a barrier between them. Sharei or mechoshech muvdalim mimela la'ayin. Because everybody knows the difference between light and darkness. You know, what does v'yavdel got to do? Why would the pasuk say "Vayavdel kimeina oru veina choshech"? You follow the way he's thinking. He says they're different. They're not the same. It's not like you're putting up a barrier between two pieces of property, and you say this property belongs to Reuven and that property belongs to Shimon. Okay, so you need a barrier because it looks the same. There's no difference between this piece of land and that piece of land. He says the opposite is true for Or and Choshech. Or and Choshech, totally different one from the other. Why would you need a barrier to divide the Or from the Choshech? Achush v'hafachim zemizeh. Right? They're different. Ela perush ha'echad she'asa masach mavdil. But it must be that we reference the first interpretation, which is that you just put up a barrier. You put up a real barrier that separated one from the other. V'hainu beiz sha'a she'eino lo or v'lo choshech. And so what is the barrier between the light and the dark? Because it says v'yavdel. Again, he says there must be a barrier. There must be something that divides the light from the darkness. Because that's what the word vayavdel means. It divides up the light from the darkness. So he says it must be the first interpretation, chasamasach mavdil, that God put up a barrier that distinguished the light from the dark. So he says, well, how could you have a barrier that distinguishes the light from the darkness? He himself said, Everybody knows the difference between light and the dark. So where is the barrier? Hainu be'eza sha'asha eino lo or v'lo choshech. He says, but you see it. We know where the barrier is. The barrier is in that time of the day, which is not exactly light and not exactly dark. What do we call that? Bein, what?
Twilight.
Oh, twilight. Good. Bein Hashmasha. That's what we call it. We call it Bein, but twilight is good. So twilight is the barrier. Twilight is the barrier, right? Haino be'ezo sha'asheinu lo or v'lo choshek. V'chein hitbiya ha'makom baruchu shelo ye'choshek techef achar ha'or. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world such that the darkness does not follow the light immediately. It's not like you have like daytime and then somebody pulls a switch and it becomes nighttime. That's not how it works. It's according to him, they could have worked that way, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, there's got to be something that divides up, that stands in between the light and the dark. And what stands between the light and the dark? The mixture of light and dark. Now, I want to remind you that who spoke of the mixture of the light and the dark? The mixture of the light and the dark. Huh?
Rashi.
Rashi, good. Rashi. We just learned it 5 minutes ago. Ela yeheha or mitma'et veholech ad shenaseh choshech. It doesn't go away in a second. It's ha'or mitma'et veholech. In other words, there's a period of time. There's a period of time when vayavdel doesn't really take place. It doesn't really distinguish the or and the chosh because you have in the middle, in that little period of time, in the Bein Hashmashot or the twilight, you have the mixture of or and choshech, which is the way the world was actually created. V'hainu echan she'ein be'inyan ha'mavdil me'ein ze u'me'ein ze be'ein ze u'me'ein ze k'tiv b'lamed ve'echan she'be'ein ha'mavdil yesh be'ein ze me'ein ze k'tiv be'ein ze u've'ein ze. So this is his idea. This is his idea. When you say l'havdil bein, and bein, it means that there's got to be something that distinguishes, something, a masach, something that is a barrier. So vayavdel, according to the Hamekdavar, according to the Netziv, vayavdel maintains, at least according to Rashi, what happened in creation. What happened in creation was that there was a mixture of light and darkness. In other words, we are unable, I mean, that's why we are unable on Shabbos to start Shabbos on time. Rashi also points that out, right? We can't start Shabbos on time. We have to add on. There's a Tosefet Shabbos. Tosefet Shabbos, we add on to Shabbat a little bit. Like whatever it is that we think Shkia is, we add on a little bit, right? In Yerushalayim, you add on a tremendous amount. Right, the women bench licht in Yerushalayim 40 minutes before Shkia for some unknown reason. I mean, anyway, it's unknown to me. But people who live in Yerushalayim are very faithful about this. All the calendars that are printed with the Zmanim on them all say that in Yerushalayim you light candles 40 minutes before Shkia. Even though hardly anybody, I mean, I don't know anybody who knows why exactly, and I know that, I think Rav Ovadia was strongly against it. He didn't want, he didn't think people had to do that because it led to all kinds of confusion and difficulties. But in any event, Vayavdel, according to the Netziv, doesn't mean that there was a clear act which distinguished the light and the darkness. But Vayavdel meant that somehow the original intention of light and darkness would be maintained. The original intention of light and darkness would be maintained. So it seems to me that this idea that there are Shabbatot and there are Moadim, that there are Shabbatot and Moadim, and Rashi explained to us that Moadim are the times when we are able to involve ourselves with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that involvement comes as a result of the fact that we are not able to be precise. The tools that the Torah gave us to determine when the Moed begins leads us to a lack of precision. We're not able to get it exactly right. So we see now that that is something that's almost built in to the nature of the created world. It was, the world was not created for the perfection which is God's, for the ability that God has to separate things out perfectly, for the ability that might have been, that the world might have been kind of set up in a very perfect way, that everybody would be the same, everybody would have the same inclinations, that finally psychologists would be able to solve the problem, whatever the problem might be. But I don't mean to mention the fact that my wife is a psychologist. So that this idea that the production from perfection should yield perfection, the timing should be perfect always. We should and therefore be unable to relate to the world as it was created. We see that the Vayavdel indicates that there's a lack of precision in the created world itself, which enables us to be part of it. And if we can't figure out when Rosh Chodesh is at a certain month, it's okay, because it's part of the way we understand it, right? How do we understand it? That the skies might be cloudy. If the skies are cloudy, so I'm not going to know when the new moon came out. If I don't know when the new moon came out, I don't know if today's Rosh Chodesh or tomorrow's Rosh Chodesh. It's okay. It's okay. In other words, the Torah admits to us that Yontif is, there's a default kind of Yontif. The default Yontif is the day that we agree upon, that we think is the day that it should be. And that's where Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot came from. Yom Tov Sheni, we invented it. We said, Yom Tov, it's remarkable. Isn't it remarkable? Mm-hmm. And the Jews are in Bavel. They say, I don't know. Is it today? Is it tomorrow? Right? So what should they have done? They should have jumped off the roof. They should have all committed suicide. What do you mean? And the Torah says, do it. And they say, I don't know. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what day of the month it is. So we'll make it up. We'll straighten it out somehow. Not that I'm a big fan of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyot. I'm not saying that. Just saying, imagine the psychology involved. All the people, all the Jews, they're all in Babylon. So somebody gets them and says, look, we don't know exactly what day it is. And they all scream out, okay, we'll keep 2 days. Great. It's interesting. It's interesting that it was in their DNA already, that you can mush it around, that you could vayavdel it, right? That you could push it. And then they liked it so much that even when there was no particular reason, when the calendars became fixed, and there was no particular reason, so the Gemara said, well, who knows? Maybe, you know, all the calendars will disappear. Maybe the non-Jews will oppress us. Maybe something will happen. Let's keep doing it. It's so great. What's great? It's like, you know, I remember my mother, Zichrona Livracha, used to say, it's the second Seder. It's the second Seder that she enjoys. First Seder she can't enjoy because she has to prepare. So you prepare till the Seder, second Seder, you don't prepare. You just enjoy it. But this was in my mother's day. But today, you know, it's easier for everybody. Is that there is a kind of a way, this imprecision, this lack of perfection, it doesn't bother us. That's what I meant to say. It doesn't really bother us. In fact, the You know the Ran, at the end of Psochem, the Ran says, well, how come we count Sfiras HaOmer only once? But why don't we count twice Sfiras HaOmer in Chutz La'aretz?
Like Musaf on Sukkot.
Like what?
Like Musaf on Sukkot.
We do it twice?
You say two different Pesukim. In Chutz La'aretz,
Oh, because of the days. Yeah. But Sfiras HaOmer, Sfiras HaOmer is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Maybe. It's like everything else. No, you could hedge all the bets. So let's say it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Rambam says it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So maybe it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So wouldn't want to do it correctly. So if you're in Chutz La'aretz, you have the first day of Yontif, it's 2 days. So you should count Sfiras HaOmer twice. And every day, you should count two different numbers. Every day. So the Ran asked that question. Imagine that seems so really odd to us. To me, it seems odd. Imagine somebody going and saying Sfiras HaOmer. But it didn't bother the Ran as a question. It didn't bother. He said, okay, that's how we are. We don't have the gift of precision. We don't have that. And that's what Vayavdil is. Vayavdil was at least according to the Pshat and Rashi, it was clearing it up. It was clearing something up. That's what Moadim, the timing of Moadim is. It's when you could do it. When you could fulfill the obligation. And it's there to tell us. It's there to say, like the Torah doesn't say, and someday you'll have a calendar. When you have a calendar, you won't have a problem. The Torah doesn't say that. The Torah says you have to look at the stars. You have to look at the moon. You have to look at the clouds. You have to look up at the heaven. You don't see anything. Yeah. That's it. You can't always have that kind of perfection. So Vayavdel is not exactly an act of creation. But it's something where we inherited our inability to be perfect, to get it exactly right, to be exactly on time. And I know there's some people in the world who think they are always perfect and always on time, but they may be mistaken. Okay, have a good Shabbos. Next week there will be a shir, even though it's Lag Ba'Omer.